of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. It's great. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Let's welcome Him here tonight. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen. Amen. Thankful to come to a place tonight where I'm sure His presence will be here. It's great to come and be with you saints and come with anticipation tonight. We have quite a few prayer requests again. I'm going to ask Brother Rob, do you mind to come pray over these? We'll just go through them there. Please pray for a group of children from the Tri-Cities who are fighting cancer and other diseases. They left today for a special trip with their parents, siblings, and a group of volunteers. They're greatly concerned because of the flu and viruses that are going around. Just pray they will all stay well, Sister Martha Sacker turns that in. So let's ask the Lord for a special touch with those children tonight. Pray for Sister Linda Krager, mother. She's not feeling well, unable to come to church this evening. The Altlands homesick this evening. Also, Brother Jerry Phillips having severe back pain. Let's remember him. Please pray for Sister Christine Baker having severe back pain. Sister Ruth Ward's granddaughter, 5 years old. She has the flu, running a very high temperature. Let's remember her. Sister D asked for prayer, a lot of pain, shortness of breath. Sister Pat Nunley asked us to pray for her brother-in-law's sister, Janice Laws. She fell, very sore. Let's remember her. Please pray for Charles Stockton, my nephew. He's been taken to the hospital with a heart attack. That's from Brother Terry Stockton. And they also have a request for their son, Daniel. He's scheduled for a defibrillator implant on Friday morning. So we're just praying for successful surgery there. Sister Judy Dyer, not feeling well, unable to be in church tonight. Brother Reese, his neighbor's nephew, has a ruptured appendix. He's in serious condition. Let's remember him. Remember my wife, Terry, feeling bad, an unspoken request. Also, that's from Brother Carter Lawson. And also, let's remember Brother Keith Phillips. He's supposed to go Monday for chemo. Platelets were a little too low this week, so they're going to try again next week, the chemo for Brother Keith. So let's just pray that God will move on that situation for our brother. Let's stand tonight, Brother Rob, if you don't mind to come, and let's just take these needs to the Lord.
Let's pray. Pray with me. Dear Lord, once again we come before You in prayer. With thanksgiving in our hearts, we long for the day, Lord, that this becomes a permanent thing, Lord. We're at home in heaven with You. I thank You, Lord, for what we've been given now. I pray, Lord God, that we make You proud of us this day. By Your Spirit, Lord, we come before the throne of grace with boldness, asking for the requests, Lord, that have been spoken. I pray for Your presence to be among us, and thank You so much. If we are not careful, it will become so common. In the Old Testament, Your presence came down in the temple, and the thickness filled the air. And time after time, we have felt Your presence, and we've sensed that You're near, and Your angels are near. Help us never, never to take for granted, Lord, Your presence. Thank You for Your grace to us. Thank You, Lord, for Your peace that passes understanding. This is a wicked, sick, and dying world, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that Your children would shine as light in this day, that others may see good things, Lord, and see You in us. I pray for Your Spirit. I pray for this service today, Lord. We long for the We long for the services, Lord, that we can hear more from heaven, to hear more of your character and your nature, to reveal yourself to us, Lord, that Christ being the mystery of God revealed, how dear it is to our hearts. We thank you for the message. We thank you for our brothers and sisters of precious faith. We thank you, Lord, for the requests that are made in the physical and how much more are the spiritual needs, Lord, among us. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. What a journey you have created, and Lord, and impart to us your life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
His arms He'll shield.
Brothers would like to come tonight, lift the offering. So you would know, let's sing that together.
Well, didn't I wake you up this morning and you were clothed in your right mind? Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time when you were. Life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? Well, how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you? Must I rescue you from trouble so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. Must I be a fence all around you? And how many nights must I wipe all your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I love you? Help me sing it. Right in time when you were weary from life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? Well, didn't I wake you up this morning,
Sister Jessica?
You were cold in your right mind. Right in your closet, each step was right in time, and you were weary from life's journey. Didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you?
What will be. What's your need? What's your cry? Is your mountain much too high? Speak the word of God, and by and by it will move, or you will fly. So set your him rise is already in the sky. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Do not struggle, it's by God's amazing grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith.
Song tonight. Let's stand together. Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring the word to us tonight. How many of you, his love still amazes you? Amen. Let's sing that together tonight. I'm amazed.
Well, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. My sins are washed, they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.
Let's sing it again.
Well, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed. I found pardon. They're all washed away, are washed away. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you happy to be able to be gathered together back in the presence of God? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. I pray God will help us in a little clearer way tonight to understand what a blessed people we are to be believing the original apostolic truth that was revealed to the church 2,000 years ago.
I know we say it so much, and if we're not careful, it'll become so common, it'll become devalued by what it really means to us. Listen now to the first church age messenger as he was prophetic understanding begins to bring to the people of God not only his position in Christ, but theirs. Wherefore, whereof rather I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now you see the difference between Paul and some of the preachers today is all they think they need to preach is Christ. But you see, Paul was not just going to preach Christ. He was going to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is a great difference. You can only preach how many times Jesus died on the cross and bring it in so many ways. You can only preach that he raised from the dead in so many ways. But when you tap into the unsearchable riches, brother, aha, now you've arrived. Praise the Lord. Now let's not twist the Bible to make it suit what we think. This is what the Bible says. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see, not just the cross, not just the blood, not just the resurrection, but the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, Lord God, help us to see it, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He's going to prove to demons, evil spirits, wickedness, wretchedness of sin. He's going to prove to them through the church his manifold wisdom. Listen to this. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. Now you imagine these demons that are allowed to be in heavenly spheres that might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my goodness. May God open our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we look to you tonight, Father. I stand here, Lord God, with great anticipation in my soul. Father, I pray you would open our hearts, our eyes of understanding, that we might see a little clearer, Lord. Oh, Lord God, the fellowship of the mystery of the saints that have been made perfect, of the innumerable host which we have been allowed to enter into the fellowship of worship. The koinonia of the elect of God, both in the angelic and the human realm, Lord Jesus, help us to see the great position you've called us to. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be proven to principalities and powers and spiritual rulers in heavenly places. Anoint us tonight, Lord, to be able to receive. Grant it, Lord. You're the one who breaks the bread of life. Pass by this way tonight, Lord God. We, as your hungry children, pull our feet, as it were, up under your table. We ask you to speak to us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The saint said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The true church of the living God is filled with new creatures. There is not one hypocrite in the true church. Now, no doubt every message church that we would be able to go and visit, if we were there long enough, we would find people that lie, that backbite, that spread gossip. We'd find some hypocrites. No doubt we'd find it among some preachers. But there ain't one in the true church. Now, everybody, of course, that claims to be in the true church is not in the true church. You can be a part of Happy Valley. You can be a part of Brother Richard Wilson's church, Brother Bill Yon's church, all these brothers that we could name, by simply going there, attending regularly, being a part of what they believe, showing up when they have service, calling those brothers your pastor, fellowshipping with the saints, going out to eat with them, and you say, that's my church. That's about all it takes to be identified in a church. But it's not that easy to get into the church. Actually, you can't pay your tithes in the church. You are the tithes. Woo! Glory! You don't pay your tithes in the church. You are the tithes. You don't join the church. You're born into it. Now, if we had a name, a book where y'all would be able to put your name, the closest thing that we've got to a church book would be the church directory. That is your name and address and your cell phone and your house phone, if you still got one, and your email if you want it in there. That's as close as we've got to having a church book. But, your name can be taken out of that directory. Some people move their attendance from one to another, and they let us know they don't want their name back in there anyway. So that's easy to be taken care of. But there is no church directory from the true church. There is a book. Glory! I said there is a book, but no human has access to it. No devil has access to it. Now, we know, of course, from the services that we've looked at already, there is such a distinction and a separation between the church and the church. The true church is born of elected members, each of them filled with the Holy Ghost. Each of them have their own experience with God, and they are truly born again. They are not just elect by term. They are elect by seed, experience, and identity on the earth, and the kind of life that they live. Now, if you are elect, oh, you say, I can do anything I want to do. No, you don't even understand election yet. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you do what He wants you to do. And if you make a mistake, you quickly repent and make it right, because it's in your heart to do His will. Now, let's move, if you would, from Ephesians 3 to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Now, let's watch as Paul opens up and gives us a little greater understanding of Mount Zion and of the city of the living God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." Now, here again, we are addressing those who have entered into the church. Many that will come to church will never be able to, in reality, enter into verse 22 and verse 23 consecutively that we will look at here tonight. This can only come to pass by the divine choice of Almighty God, Him taking the nature which He allowed for you to partake of and birth your gene into that by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, imparting to you, as we looked at it last week, the Godhead nature. This is why you can see that those who are the really truly born again will be so far in the minority of the people who have lived on the face of the earth. They will be very, very misunderstood. They will be very, very few, because only God can do this. Now, Mount Zion, of course, literally denoted a southern hill in the southern part of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the city of Jebus, which was of the Jebusites, and David came and took that city with his mighty men. And they made that city the capital. But yet David expands the city of Jerusalem from the former city of Jebus, and he moves south, the direction, notice, coming south, coming from the north side. Now he's moving south, condescension, in the act of condescension, comes to the southern part, and he renames this and calls it Zion. Now the Old Testament spelling of the word is Z-I-O-N. So it was also called the city of David. Now in this, David wants to make this his capital. So this is Mount Zion. Now, spiritually, David has an understanding that there will be a coming counterpart to this Mount Zion in the Old Testament. And he identifies this in Psalms 48 and in other places, that it was to be the habitation of the Spirit of God. And yet Paul picks it up in Hebrews 12, and Paul spells it different. He calls it S-I-O-N. So we know that there is a change between, of course, the Hebrew and the Greek, but there is also a great spiritual change, because Mount Zion in the Old Testament was a natural plot by which the city was built. But we move to the New Testament, it is not a certain location. So God is not making everybody in the bride gather to Jeffersonville, or making everybody in the bride gather to Happy Valley, or everybody in the bride has to stream Happy Valley, or find some preacher in Trinidad, or find some preacher in Louisiana or Indiana or wherever more, because God is no longer dealing just with one location. It's not out in Tucson, it's not in Phoenix, it's in S-I-O-N, Zion. So now we're talking about this group of people, the church, the elect of God, that are going to move into this. Now those who live actually in Mount Zion was a very, very small group or handful of people. It would have been David, his wives, his children. It would have been those who made up the court of David. It would have been those who would have made up the making of the law, the magistrates and so on, that would have lived inside the city, and those that would have been handpicked by David in order to give them a special little treat to live next to the king. So everybody now that lived in, whether they lived in Gibeon, whether they lived in Judah, whether they lived in Issachar, the land of Dan, wherever they lived in the land of Israel, they were blessed by God because God gave them the land. Is that right? But then we have the elect, amen, the elect that were called out of Israel, and the elect out of Israel were the only ones that lived in Mount Zion. So they were doubly blessed with a double portion of the firstborn part of the covenant. Amen. In that they were called out of Egypt, but they were not only called out of Egypt, they were called out of Egypt and called into Zion. Amen. Now in Zion, of course, is where that Solomon is going to be allowed to build the temple of God. And the presence of God was only identified in Zion. So you've got Bethpage, which is 5 miles down the road. You've got Mount Olives, and you can stand right in the on the Temple Mount and look right straight across the mountain, and you'll see the Mount of Olives. You go east, and you'll be able to see other great things, west, north, south, whichever direction you go. But the identified presence of God was only in Mount Zion. Amen. So no matter where you were from Dan to Beersheba, you were blessed to be saved. I mean blessed to be in Israel. But if you lived in Mount Zion, you were doubly blessed because you had not only the covenant blessing of Abraham, you had the presence of the King himself. Amen. Now, the successors of David and his lineage then were the ones which were chosen to live out in the city of Zion. Of course, initially we know that it was started out this way and that it became destroyed because of the wickedness of the people. So all of Zion then was a representation, and even though the outside people was not able to live there, yet they were called up once a year, all the males, and they would be able to come into the presence of God. But yet here Paul is now running a parallel in the book of Hebrews that the born again of the New Testament, they have now been called into Sion. So they, he says, ye are come. Now, won't you notice how he says this? So the glorious mount has now changed from being in Jerusalem. I hope y'all hearing me, because I've studied out what to preach to you all tonight. And I was going to lay down a little bit a while this evening and rest a little bit. And when I got ready to lay down, the Lord wouldn't let me lay down. Well, he let me lay there for a few minutes. And then he spoke this scripture to me. And I got up, and I'll tell you what, it's like I had an atomic explosion. I mean, it was just like the whole thing. So, Lord, we are going to have church tonight. You have got something you want to say. Praise be to God. Now, whenever God then begins to open this up to Paul, he catches the caption of the setting in that it is no longer just Jerusalem. You imagine how the Jews now, how that they were taking this, that the holy presence of God is no longer in Zion, but the holy presence of God is identified in the mystical body, Jews, Gentiles, Parthians, whoever more that was baptized into the Holy Ghost, all stood on the same level. What a difficult thing it must have been for them to comprehend this, that the holy presence of God was no longer behind the veil, and that the place there in Jerusalem, this was no longer Mount Zion, but Mount Zion was now the church that received the Holy Ghost. Notice how he words this. He says, but ye are come. Notice this. You are not coming. You are not fixing to. You're not going to when you are dead. You're not going to in the rapture, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Lord, children, do you realize your soul has already arrived in Zion? Praise be to God. Zion is the city of the King. What are you talking about, Brother Donnie? What is Zion? It's the mystical body of the church. We don't get there by shaking a preacher's hand. We don't get there by saying, well, I believe God sent a prophet. That's not the way you get there. You get there by being born again. And if you're born again, you'll know God sent a prophet. But ye are come already. Children, do you understand sitting here tonight? Those of you that have received the Holy Ghost and those of you that are streaming this service and you're baptized into the mystical body of Christ, that ye are come already unto Mount Zion, that you are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is no devil. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no government. There is no dictator. There is no president that can take you out of that place. You have already arrived. Oh, hallelujah. Not maybe, possibly. If you'll be a good boy, if you'll be a good girl, if you'll be faithful, you have arrived. Yee! Are come. The characteristic of this new dispensation is it can move your soul into a heavenly realm and leave it in your body at the same time. Jesus introduced this paranormal doctrine when he said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven save he which has come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Glory to God. Your soul has already been conducted to Zion. Then we ought to act like Jerusalem dwellers. Amen. Amen. Then it not only requires conduct and behavior, but it has privileges. Brother Donnie, I'm dealing with sickness. I'm dealing with distress and this and that. I understand that too. But I ain't talking about that part of you. I'm talking about the part that's a citizen of the kingdom of God. Notice in Paul says that you have already come unto Mount Zion. And then he goes on the next phrase and to say it, unto the city of the living God. What? Already arrived? We have already come to the city of the living God. How can that be? Because the city of the living God is the elect of God where God is living. What is the city? Where is God's residence? It ain't Johnson City. It ain't Elizabeth. It's not Bristol or Kingsport. The city of God is the bride of Christ around the world. You are already a resident of the city of God. This is why he can say it in such a positive affirmation that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me say, friend, the devil don't care if you just come here to Happy Valley and say you're like a bump on a pickle. He don't care if you just get around the message and never get born again. What he can't stand is when you are born again and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you cross into an innumerable fellowship with angels. You understand? The gospel church is a city. You say, "I never heard such stuff in my life." You ought to read your Bible. Jesus said, "You are a city set on a hill." Glory to God. The church world is not a city. Oh no, she's like Sodom. We're not Sodom. We're Jerusalem. Glory. Hallelujah. We are not a city that our gates leads to sodomy and perversion. Our gates leads to paradise. This city is full of inhabitants of believers. How many are they? I don't know. Millions, tens of millions, I don't know. But it is a city that right now is full. You may not be able to see them. You may never be able to fellowship with them until we move beyond this visible realm. But right now, they are already gathered in Zion. Oh my, week by week goes by months go by. Different saints from around the world are gathering into that dimension. But let me just bring it more up to date to your understanding. We have already arrived in spiritual Zion by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice this. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem, city of peace. Glory to God. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Look how Jerusalem is spelt. Jeru-Salem. Jerusalem. City of peace. Who's the king of this city? The Prince of Peace. Who's the subjects of this city? Sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of peace. Not one troublemaker in this city. Not one gossiper, not one liar. Come on, Happy Valley. Christ is the King, the Prince of Peace. Amen. We not only have a spiritual peace of the time of trouble. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, how in the world is it we can go through such distress and be in that city? To me, it's a great paradox of God, how he can redeem our souls and carry us up in such heavenly places that Paul would place us into such an atmosphere. Can you imagine when he's writing this? People are dying at the stake. They're cutting unborn babies from these mothers' bodies and dashing their brains out on a rock. And yet their souls have already crossed into Mount Zion. Don't let this natural thing get you down. Don't let your mistakes get you down. Don't let the mistakes of others get you down. You already think I'm crazy anyway. I'm going to go ahead and push the limit to that. True believers should regard themselves already as city dwellers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why our conduct, our behavior, our dress, everything we are. Hallelujah! Can't you see Laodicea is acting like they're already at hell? Why, what the prophet of God said to them and saw when he was a little bitty boy, they are now acting, Harry, like they are in hell. If they're acting like they're in hell, should not we act like we are in heaven? In Zion, as the people of God, loving one another, praying for one another, displaying the love of God. True, I understand. You've not seen it with your flesh eye, but the eye of faith declares it's real. God wants you not only to be able to say, well, I know it's real. God wants you by revelation to be able to say, not only is it real, I can see myself there. Well, glory to God. Amen. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Notice this, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. The Greek word here is myriads, tens of thousands of angels gathered in an assembly. Immortal, very knowing, very powerful. And yet God has allowed the saints to be gathered in the assembly of such beings. You're not gathered just into a mystical body and you're taking this whole thing by faith and nothing ever supernatural comes along the way. One of these days when you get there and you look back, part of the mystery of your life will be unfolded by the company and fellowship, please listen, and the friendship that God has allowed you to have with angelic beings. Most of you will never even see your guardian angel. Most of you will never even know the angels that are sent around you. Yet all of a sudden, someday when you're down and you feel so discouraged and you don't know what to do, and you feel a surge of something going through, and you say, God, I can't make it no farther. If you could open up your eyes and God would just open up a little bit of vision there, angelic vision, you'd look around and you'd realize they were standing right there near you. Oh, glory to God. When you got prayed for it, maybe Sunday, and nothing happened, yet on yesterday morning or this morning, all of a sudden you're making breakfast or something began to move and something swept through the room and you realize, Lord have mercy, what was that? That headache left me. It was the angel of God. It was the angel of God. coming your way, my friend, we may not be able to shake their hands and may not be able to see their face, but we are in a company of innumerable amount of angels. Why? They are sent to take care of you. Holy, elected beings of God. We are brought into a status of friendship. Friendship with them. Can you imagine angels of God wanting to hang around you? You see, you have something in common with them that the church does not have in common. In that you are of the church of the firstborn. But Brother Donnie, I've been to a lot of these other churches and they worship God and praise God. Pine trees do the same. Orcas do the same. Dolphins do the same. Deer, cow, horses, everything that hath breath, some another, it praises God and deer talk and cow talk and horse talk. That ain't what I want. I ain't no deer. I ain't no horse. I ain't no cow. Glory! I want to be called unto Mount Zion. I believe this which calls inside of us, friends. This is why we cannot be satisfied by just being a church member. We cannot be satisfied even of just being a church member of a message church. There's something in us that is calling us. What is it? Mount Zion. We are called into an innumerable company of angels. You see, those worshipers who were allowed to go in to the temple on Mount Zion were able to go behind the curtain and it dropped, go behind the curtain and it dropped. They were in there where the cherubims were. Only cherubims authenticated by God was on Mount Zion. And these worshipers were worshiping where the angels were. Amen. I don't want to worship just with the dogs and the cats and the monkeys and the rats and the mice. And I want to worship where angels do. The benefit and the advantage being called to such a place is that we have heavenly assistance in the time of need. It's not just that God, when he gets time to fit you in the list, you go to the ER and you know you may have to sit there for 30 or 45 minutes or an hour or whatever more, and they may come out and say, you know what, we ain't got no beds, you're going to have to go over somewhere else because we ain't got no room. You may go to see a doctor and you got to wait in line. You may go to see a lawyer and you got to wait in line. But this is one person, there ain't no line ever formed. Because he's big enough to take care of all of us at one time. These angels have been known to bring food to the bodies of the people of God. The Jews could say amen to that. Elijah could say amen to that. I've stood in the house of a little widow over in India. You've heard me tell it before. Who God visited her like he did the woman in the Bible. And God kept renewing her oil and her meal. Oh, I know us Americans, we're so lazy and our faith is so, muscles are so weak. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe if we ever got to a spot, God could do it again.
heard not long ago of a preacher who was going to preach in a certain place many few years ago. He didn't have the money to go, didn't have the ability to be able to go there, but God laid it on his heart to go. And the Spirit of God laid it on his heart to go fill his tank up with water. Water! And prayed over that gas tank. You know what happened. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because our God is a mighty God. You've heard the stories several years ago of the sister that believed the word over in Africa and her husband persecuted and stood against her. Oh, mind you, made all kinds of manner of fun of her. Went and got her car keys, throttled out in the lake, said, there, if your God is God, then make a way to church. She goes out there and goes fishing and pulls that fish up out of the lake with her keys inside the fish's mouth. Her and her husband went to church and he got saved. Why? Because God is a mighty God. He's looking for somebody that he can prove himself through. Jesus and Peter needed to pay their tax money and didn't have no money. He let that fish grab a hold of that coin that fisherman lost out there fishing. Let Peter catch him. Don't tell me this God can't do it. I wonder how many times when you got ready to come to church and you get out there and your car wouldn't start. Or you say, wait a minute, I forgot my Bible. And you set up, woman. Oh, women, they don't never get ready. Her forgetting her Bible may have spared you a wreck. I've seen angelic beings myself. I don't ask to see them. I've never seen one yet. It didn't scare me to death. God wants me to see them, that's fine. I'm not going to tell him not to do it. I'd rather know they're around by their characteristics and traits and helping me in the time of need than me sitting down with them literally. I'm not sure I could handle it. Maybe y'all's more spiritual than me. Maybe you could. But I like watching them in action. When I've been to a place I didn't have no idea what to do and praying and asking God, God, please move. Please, Lord, come on the scene. And all of a sudden you see something happen that shouldn't happen, that you know it couldn't happen. And you think, how did that happen? You think, I got friends in high places. I got friends that know how to look, children. They are around you every day of your life. They never leave you. They never take a break. Lord have mercy. I wish somebody preached with me tonight. They never go on vacation. They never go back to heaven and say, Lord, I'm taller, father, Jim Bab around. They never leave you. They camp around you. They preserve you on your journey. And even though sometimes bad things will happen to good people, if it hadn't been for your angel there, it'd have been even worse. God don't promise that the children of God will be exempt from trouble and bad things coming our way. But the difference between us and the devil's children is they don't get nothing out of it but pain and heartache. The things we go through bring us benefit. When in danger and harm, they restrain the enemy. Friends, don't you know the devil would love to destroy me? Don't you know he'd love to destroy this church? Don't you know he'd love to destroy you? Don't you know he'd love to destroy every Holy Ghost-filled child of God? Why don't he? He can't. They help you in life. And then when you get ready to cross over, guess what? They're right there. Come on. Let's go. You see, Paul is contrasting this between the receiving of the law and Sinai. Sinai was where the voice of God thundered in the presence of God, made the people so affrighted, oh my, that they trembled and shook and said, don't let God speak, but let Moses speak. God said, I'll do this. I'll raise him up a prophet. God gives the law, which contains judgment and penalty. But Paul said, that's not what you're called to. You're not called unto Mount Sinai. You're called unto Mount Zion. Angels ordained and delivered the law. I figured I'd get that look. Acts chapter 7, verse 53, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, not because of grace. Till the seed, amen. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels. Look at the word ordained. The tasso, appoint, set in order, prescribe, give order. Ordained by the hands, by angels, in the hand of a mediator. Who comes? The angels of God come to a prophet upon the mountain. The angels of God come to the prophet. This is God's way. Ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. So the prophetic mediator stood between God and the channel of the angels to bring the law to the people. Well, glory to God. In this day, we didn't need 10 more commandments. We didn't need another commandment. We needed the seals to be open. And help us, Brother Skip, to understand what God had on his heart, what God had on his mind, and what did God do? God sent us a prophet. Amen. And by the disposition of angels, one angel coming each day, they brought to him the mystery laying under the seal. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Guess what? Mount Zion is here. The house of God. Oh, the house of God is in the making. The New Jerusalem is here. The spiritual antitype to the one John saw coming down out of heaven. It's here. If the angels have brought the dispensation of the word, the city must be somewhere. You can look up this way if you want to. I'm looking right here. We said, Brother Donnie, Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker is God. That's exactly what I'm looking at tonight. A city whose builder and maker is God. Notice in verse 23. Now notice, you are called. You are called to Zion. You're called to this great heavenly Jerusalem. You're called to an innumerable myriads of angels. But in verse 23, you're called to the general assembly. To the general assembly. This term occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. Angels viewed as being gathered around the throne of God to behold his face and to worship him. And Paul says, those of you that are in the church, you have been called to the general assembly of these angels which never fail. You're not called to that church that came out of great tribulation. You are called to the general assembly of the elect angels of God, which never even sinned. They never told a lie. They never knew anything wrong. And yet you are called to worship with these angels. under the Christian dispensation, our worship is united with the angelic host. And actually, our worship will move them back. Under the Noahic covenant, the Noahic covenant could not move the angels from their place. The Abrahamic covenant could not move the angels from their position. But under the new covenant, by the blood of Adonai himself, it replaces the angels. And actually will move them when we stand upon this redeemed earth. Well, they will circle the earth with bowed heads as the elect of God gather around the throne. And we sing the songs of redemption, and they will bow their heads not knowing what we are talking about. It's not that they don't know the words. They don't know it by experience. They can't say, I was lost and you saved me. I was out here in the world of darkness and you delivered me. They never was there. Can you imagine the grace of Almighty God placing us into that innumerable amount right now under this shed blood of the covenant to where we worship together with them? We're called to the General Assembly. It ain't the General Assembly of the Church of Christ, the General Assembly of the Church of God. It's the General Assembly of the elect of all the ages. Oh, hallelujah to God. We are worshiping, Harry, with the cherubims. Lord God, children. Under this dispensation, the real born church worship with the angelic host. You are so redeemed. Oh God. You are so redeemed. He sees you as he sees Jesus Christ. To the General Assembly. And the church of the firstborn. The General Assembly. And this is what the Lord spoke to me when I laid down to have a little rest. Thank you for not letting me go to sleep, sir. This is more important than a nap. Wake me up at any time. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Of what this prophet of God is saying to us through the General Assembly and the church. Not churches. Church of the firstborn. This church consists only of the elect. No hypocrites, no liars, no deceivers, no backbiters. It reaches from Africa to India to heaven. It covers everything from the altar down. Amen. Glory be to God. It reaches over in the sixth dimension, by which apparently it's divided up into seven different increments, which the church ages and their messengers gather together. It gathers from the Ephesian age right on down to the Laodicea. It bounces right back down to the darkest parts of on the earth, and it identifies them all as the elect of God, the church of the firstborn. The apostles wasn't the only firstborn. Well, praise the Lord. Neither were the first converts of the Jews, nor the first converts of the Gentiles. The whole church is the church of the firstborn. Every one of us are first generation. Praise be to God. Chosen of God, called of God, sons and daughters of God. Equally loved by him, equally treasured by him. same privileges, same honors, same dignity. All I can say is it's a good thing I'm 61 years old instead of 20. If the Lord had showed me these things when I was 20, I'd done been down to Elizabeth and back probably. You see, the firstborn of the Old Testament received a double portion. So if you've got five children, you take the father's inheritance and you divide it by six. Because the firstborn gets his part and another one. If you got seven children, you add one to it. Oh, that don't seem fair. That was the law of the firstborn. You see, the church is saved. But we're not the church. We're the church of the firstborn. Oh, glory to God. We are not just saved from sin. The church gets that. We get a double portion. We're saved from sin, saved from the tribulation. Oh, hallelujah. We get a double portion. We get the king. Amen. We are the bride. We are heir to all the firstborn's portion. We get the city. Brother Charlie Cox, about 30 years ago, whenever I first moved down here, and Brother Charlie come and preached for us, he said, "Brother Donnie, I'd have never thought that you as a country boy would have ever wanted to move to Johnson City and live inside a city." He said, "You was raised out there in the country like I was. I never thought you'd ever want to live in a city." I said, "Brother Charlie, I'm trying to get used to city life." I'm telling you one thing, the city I'm going to ain't nothing like Johnson City. Hallelujah. We not only get Dan and Beersheba and Gibeon, we get Mount Zion. We get to worship where angels worship. I can worship with cows, need be. I may not move like one. I could stand right by a cow or worshiping God. I could stand by the ocean roaring out its praises to God. But really, angels are my class. I know, friends. I know. This is heavy duty stuff. To the General Assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, not in the earth, but in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life, kept in heaven. Nothing any higher than their election in God. Impossible to be erased, impossible to be taken from the script, impossible to be blotted out. Well, glory. This is part of who you are. Your name being written in the Lamb's book expresses your right to a theophany. Believe it or not, you've got your own angel there. When you recognized the Word of God was eagle food, you left the other thing, you heard from your theophany. Glory be to God. The prophet said it ain't promised that everybody has angels. Only the elected or the redeemed has angels. He said, whenever your mother was carrying you, he said, however long before she gave birth to you, she started getting sweet. It was that little angel fixing to go inside of that human body that mama was going to give birth to. Notice this, the prophet said, the same God that spoke and Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, the same one called you at that same time and wrote your name in the book. Amen. Now that sounds like it might not be so, but it's the Bible. So it has to be so. Again, the Lamb's Book of Life. God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Devil, if you're still awake, wake up real good. All the devils out of hell can't erase it out of there. God wrote it and spoke it. Lord, children of Satan, God who made all these stars we've been looking at and made all these heavenly beings, do you understand before he ever made all of that, that God spoke your name? God wrote it and spoke it. Writing it would have been good enough. Speaking it would have been good enough. But you're firstborn. You get two portions. Woo! Glory to God. Many will have their name written in the book of life, and it can be removed. But you get double benefit. Yours is in the Lamb's book, and yours was spoke. Glory to God. God wrote it and spoke it. It's just as sure to happen as God wrote it in there before the foundation of the world. Amen. How glorious our Heavenly Father is in His infinite love and His mercy to do that for us. And the church said, amen. Then be ye therefore perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. How can you be when it's not my perfection? It's not your perfection. It's His perfection of His Word that He chose you. You never chose Him and He brought you into Christ. You are secure with Jesus Christ and just as perfect as Christ was before God. Lord, help us. For you are standing, oh my, not standing with your own. You're standing in Him with one thing. I believe God. Notice, not only was Christ slain to take away sin, but your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name associated with His. God wrote Jesus' name. Jesus' name was in this book. And God wrote your name with His. I love these next few words. Now, Satan, make them get scared now. Don't you see what that will do for you? If you can see it. Brother Jim, it helps drive away part of that human fear I was talking about this weekend. That we're not going to make it and we're not going to be able to hold on to be able to see this. Helps eradicate. Before the world ever began, God called your name, you Christians, and wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the world ever started, saith the Bible. So you want to know what order it was? He tells us. God called your name, and then He wrote it. Amen. Church of the firstborn. Double portion. That's God's word. He spoke it back down, revealed through His servants, the prophets, and we're enjoying the blessings and resting and waiting upon, oh my, the coming of the Lord, waiting for it. It's all over. Did you know that the same time He was slain, you was accepted? At the same time He was slain, you was accepted. Did you know that, He said? Skip down a little bit in the paragraph. He said, at the same time the Lamb spoke to be slain, And the blood stain was appropriated then. Your name was associated with it at that very time and put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only thing you had to do is run out to the time that God called you by the Holy Ghost. Well, say, Brother Donnie, predestination doesn't wear the Holy Ghost. It does no such a thing. You were predestinated to run out to a certain time. And when you run out to that certain time, what? Spirit of God began to move on your heart. You go up to an altar. I remember the Donnie. I went up to that altar. Of course you did. But it was not you seeking him. It was him seeking you. The time's connected. Amen. It was a point of contact. Only thing you had to do is run out to the time that God called you by the Holy Ghost. And no man can come to me except my Father calls him, and all comes to me. I'll give him everlasting life and raise him up at the last days. Whew. Wish I was twice my size. Maybe I could yell twice this much. Some of you big old people here tonight ought to be screaming like a panther. Woo! Think of it. Before the world was ever formed, when the Lamb's Book of Life was spoke back there, your name was associated with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What are you scared about? He's up there on the receiving end. He's got angels here watching over us. Notice this as you praise the Lord. You said so. This is your word. When you spoke it back there, when you spoke my association with it, I'm staying in the Word. So you're called to what? To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Pneuma is what the word spirit means. Look at all the meanings, the variables of what this same word is used in the New Testament. Spirit, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of truth, Spirit of Christ, human spirit, 49 times. Jesus' own spirit, 6 times. Jesus' own ghost, 2. So it's the supernatural human part, something beyond the human part, supernatural, pneuma, spirits of just men made perfect. You're called to this. This is your finale. This is your crescendo of life. This is part of the firstborn covenant. You'll not leave half prepared. You'll not leave with 99.5. Part of your election is to leave with the spirits of just men made perfect. How in the world can any man be just? How can any man be justified? He cannot be by his own. It takes the spiritual union between Christ and that individual to put them back in the justified state. That in the first place, they never done it anyway. Notice then we are called the spirits of just men who are waiting. Not only those that have gone beyond, but those of us who are now here. We have already engaged in the conflict of sin. Our brothers and sisters that are passing over, they have now reached that spot. The spirits of just men made perfect. We are called to meet them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Greek is the spirits of the perfected just. Called unto the spirits of the perfected just, the pneuma in you will reach its maturity. This is what you're called to. Oh, but I'm scared to death I'll fail. I'm scared to death I'll fail. Oh, Brother Donnie, you don't know failure runs in my family. Then look at your other family. Oh, I've done my ancestry.com, Brother Donnie, and I've done me in 23 and me in 24 and me in 27. And I'll tell you, I found some bad things up in my tree. Well, let me give you a real true ancestry. Go to the electionseed.com. This is not a website now, but go there and see if you can trace your identity back before there was ever a Garden of Eden. See if you can trace your identity back. Hallelujah. Oh, mine. Well, my family come across Europe and mine done this. I understand. Brother Darrell bought me and Carol one a while back, and I done mine too. I have so much Irish, so much English, so much knothead, so much this and that and the other, you know. And you know, telling what in the world you are, but I'm so glad mine goes beyond ancestry.com. I have preached to you tonight your true ancestry. It's not 23 in me, it's Jesus in me. Hallelujah. It's not ancestry.com, it's elect.com, ordained.com, predestinated.com, heaven.com, devil get out of my way.com, here I'm coming.com. Hallelujah. That's who the church is. No other place in the scripture are the just ever said to be perfected before the resurrection till right here. Let me close. Wow, where did our time go? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that was the scripture text I was supposed to start with tonight. But the Lord said, no. End with it, Donnie. Aren't you glad he's still in control? James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits of his creatures. We're the reason the lions and the trees and the jackals and the wolves and the coyotes and the deer and everything else will be redeemed. We get saved before they do. You get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, then the trees can really shout in the millennium. Lord, children, if we just went to the millennium itself, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Those of you that know anything about the Canadian Rockies, you know that Brother Bram said Banff. Many of you have read about Banff and heard about it. It's quite a beautiful place. I've never been there myself, but just send videos of it and pictures of it. And Brother Eugene Braun goes up there from time to time and sends me pictures. And oh my, just absolutely breathtaking. Brother Bam said that's where he wanted to live in the millennium. Quite a beautiful place. Can you imagine what it would be when the Son of David comes in upon the earth? Everybody on the earth who is not saved yet will be in mortal bodies. They will be rubbing shoulders with you in glorified bodies. If they don't come to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is come to church, then the sons of God will hold back rain over their particular place where they live. They say, you was out of church last Sunday. You don't get no rain this week. Ezekiel chapter 44 through 48, you'll find the Son of David, he sits in the Millennium Temple. It'll be the restoration of the temple worship in the sense of only answering to the shadows and the types which are fulfilled in Christ. Then, once that's finished, we go into eternity. The earth will be burned off. Oh my, I tell you one thing, after studying all the heavenly plans again, I thought, my goodness, I think I want to go back to the future home and deal with that again. Oh my. Brother Donnie, ain't you about to run out? Never. Friends, we've broken to eternity. If you only knew how long it normally takes me to bring all this together, and in a matter of a few hours, the Lord Jesus started putting this together for me today, I just knew it was going to be wonderful. Amen. Don't you so appreciate him? Thank God. Thank God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord Jesus, this must have been on your heart tonight for us, Father. Thank you. Help me, Lord, that I'll always be sensitive, Father. Help me that I'll never get to a place that I think I'm a preacher. That I think I know what's best. Help me no matter how much I've studied and how I've applied myself. I've studied for hours this week, preparing for what I thought was Wednesday night. And yet, Lord, just in a moment of time, you changed that whole thing. I thank you. Praise God. I pray I never get to a place that I don't stop and follow that, Lord. Lord Jesus, may you minister to every heart here tonight. If there's any visible or invisible that are not in the church, that are not in the city of the living God called unto Mount Zion, beautiful for situation in the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise God. Oh Lord God, may this be the night that you'll pass by their way. We could lay hands on them, we could pray with them, we could do everything we could do. But you're the only one that can baptize a person into Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. For those of us that are in the city, we are so grateful. Thank you for our citizenship, Lord. Lord, before too awful long, Carol and I will be flying out. And Brother Ron Spencer and others from Africa and all over Europe. And be converging again, if it be pleasing to you, over in Switzerland for the meetings in Easter. I might tell them my name, Donnie Reagan. They might look me up at Happy Valley Church. They might, but that's not what they're looking for. They want some legal identification in order for me to be able to get out of this country and back in. With my passport in hand, they'll take my ticket. My name will have to be spelled exactly the same, which creates a problem for me sometimes, since my name is Donald, but I go by Donnie. So if I go by Donnie and have my ticket in the name of Donnie and my passport in Donald, I'm going to have an entrance problem and an exit problem. I must be identified by my legal name. Help us to understand, Lord, sometimes we look at our old flesh, our old weaknesses, Donnie, 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 Donnie. But by eyes of faith, help us to look at our legal name. Our legal name is the one in the Lamb's book. Praise God. That's the one that'll get us in. That's the one that'll get us out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we worship you. Oh, praise be to God. Lord Jesus, I sense the presence of those angels right here among us. Oh, glory to God. Oh, the prophet said it so many, many years ago. The angels of God are standing right here in these pews here to minister to the heirs of righteousness. Maybe to minister healing. Minister strength and virtue. If demons are here to keep him away from it, then the angels of God are also here. Lord, may the angels pass by with healing. May they pass by with a supernatural touch. We're not ashamed tonight, Lord, to say, we need them, Lord God. Oh no, we don't worship them. But they're angels, messengers that are sent to minister to the heirs of life. Blessed Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May they go with us, Lord, when we go shopping. when we go to Lowe's and when we go to Walmart, when we go camping in the summertime, when we go on vacation down in Florida, wherever we go, may the angels of God go with us. Lord, if we step on a plane, may they step on board with us, keep us in the midst of turbulence. May they have us a safe landing. When the pilots up front were scared to death, something was going on and they didn't tell the people what was going on. They didn't realize there's a saint of God on board there and there's an angel up there whispering to that pilot, do this and trim this and do that. And he said, I never thought of that before. Well, I guess not. He had an angel talking to him for the sake of the elect that was sitting back there. The devil can't take us till you're done, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. We are called to the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. We stand shoulder to shoulder, as it were, with the cherubims, the seraphims, the zoons, the General Assembly. We worship you, Lord God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands to Him, children? Don't you appreciate Him tonight? Oh, glory to God. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages till I reach that city on the hill. Everybody, oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on a hill. On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with its glory it doth fill. I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on a hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not lead thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says whosoever will, and I'll find there a body for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on the side. Yet I love you still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages. Oh, when I reach that great city on the hill. Amen. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Oh, a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, dear residents of that city. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Let's come again this weekend expecting the Lord to speak to us again. And it's been good to be together in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for those of you that are feeling better over the flu, symptoms, whatever more. Still others that are sick, not feeling well. Brother Darrell got back from Nicaragua, not feeling well. Texted me this afternoon before church, said he wasn't able to be here, so we want to remember him and others that are sick. I'm sure you've probably seen that 12 people have died in the Tri-Cities area here with this flu, so it's a powerful thing. It's nothing to play with. But our God
is greater than all the flu devils put together. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend, Lord alive. Oh, that city.